And so since it's Hunter Sunday in the great outdoors, I want to teach all of you a new word today. Yeah, I looked this up. There's a brand new word. It's called entomophagy. Everybody say that with me. Entomophagy. Entomophagy. That's a real word. Food scientists came up with that. And look what it means. The practice of eating insects. So you know what? It doesn't matter what I preach about today. I know what you're all going to remember. So everybody say, I learned a new word today, entomophagy. Sounds like an Italian word, doesn't it? Entomophagy, you know. It's a real word. The United Nations says, you can Google this, 2 billion people right now are eating insects as part of their diet. That works out to about 25% of the world's population. One out of every four people in the world today have added insects to their diet. Almost 2,000 insects that you can eat, and they are full of nutrition. They have a very low impact on the environment. They're full of fats and fiber and protein and vitamins and minerals. So today we have added to our menu, for those of you who are daring and not sissies, and you can ask the staff. We have tried all of this. So we have John the Baptist's menu today. The Bible says John the Baptist ate locusts and honey. So we've got some locusts for you, dried and honey. We've got a few other items, crickets, mealyworms. Come on, man, try it. What are you so afraid of? You only live once. Come on, man. So there's a table out there. Grab a locust, dip it, eat it, man. Because here's the thing. You never know when you're going to have to eat insects. If you're out in the middle of the wilderness and you're lost, you can say, Pastor Dave said, if I eat insects, I'll be healthy. So there you go. Entomophagy, okay? So there's your new word for the day. But so we're in the middle of hunting season right now. Deer hunting season, turkey season has come on us, and it's been open for almost a month. I've been hunting for about 20 years. I did not hunt when I was younger. I didn't even own a gun. I've been an outdoorsman all of my life. I mean, I can think back even when I was 5 years old, I was fishing, and I've fished, and I've camped all of my life, spent a good portion of my summers, or every year at least, camping and being outdoors. But I was not a hunter, and it wasn't until I was almost 40 where I decided I wanted to learn how to hunt. So I bought a gun and asked a few guys, you know, can you help me learn how to hunt? And so I started hunting, but I did not know anything about hunting. I mean, I just was just dumb, you know. I didn't know. And so as a result, most of those first few years I hunted, I never shot a deer. I almost never saw one. I was just breaking rules, and I didn't even know what rules I was breaking. But one time, I was hunting with Steve Fitterer, one of our board members. Steve's back here, so yeah. And my son Paul, and we were up trees, and Steve was way off to my left, about 100 yards or so, and Paul was off to my right about 100 yards, and it was early morning, and I'm up there, and all of a sudden, I see a giant buck come crashing through the woods, and he drops right in front of me behind a bush, and I'm trying to look over the bush, thing just dropped dead right there, and I'm thinking, oh, great. I think it's Fitterer shot a buck, and just to bust me, the buck comes and dies in front of me. I'm so mad, you know. I'm thinking, man, I never get a shot, you know. If you're going to kill a buck, die by you, you know. So I wait an hour. Buck does not move. So I think, wow, man, I got to go down and look at this thing. So I climb down out of the tree. I put my bow down. I walk around the bush, and I'm about from here maybe to chip, and I'm looking at this deer. I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, that is a big deer, you know. That's a huge deer. So I go walking up, and I straddle the deer, like this. This is a true story. You may think I lie, but this is a true story. The head is tilted this way with a rack up to my knee. I'm looking at this white 10-point, biggest rack I'd ever seen. I think, you know what? I'm just going to straighten that out. It's so cool. So I bend down to straighten the rack, and I get this really bad feeling, like, this is not a good idea. This is a rule you should not break. So I step off the deer like this. I get down on the ground, lay down on the ground, right by his head, and I whack it on the shoulder. Hey! The thing jumps up and runs, man. I scream, ah! Ah! It's running right towards Paul. I'm like, Paul, Paul! All of a sudden I hear Paul go, ah! Paul's climbing out of the tree. It ran right by him, you know. I learned a basic rule of hunting. Make sure the deer is dead before you go to it. Could have shot that thing. Man, it's like, wow, man. So, you know, there's rules I didn't know about hunting. And there's, you know, there's other rules that will help you if you learn how to use them and you know what the rules are. They can help you be a little more successful if you're hunting. So this is the way it is when you're walking into the woods. If you're hunting in the morning, you're walking into woods and you don't know where you're going. And if you want to follow a basic rule of hunting, it would be smart if you scouted out the property before you went there, so you don't trip and fall in a creek or trip over stones. You need to know your way in, you need to know your way out. Either you're hunting in the morning, that means you're going in the dark, or you're hunting in the afternoon, so you may go in when it's light, but when you're walking out, it's dark. And if you don't know where you're going, you haven't scouted it out, you're gonna get hurt, you're gonna mess yourself up, you could even get lost. But there's lots of equipment and rules that can help you be successful in hunting. Like for instance, you want to have camo gear. You know, this helps you so the deer don't see you as much. You kind of blend in. If you're hunting during gun season, you always have to have orange on so some desperate hunter doesn't mistake you for a deer. So you have, you know, orange. You'll live longer. You want to have good, you know. I used to have a jumpsuit that was all orange, head to toe, and I told Roxanne, if I ever get shot, it wasn't an accident. This thing glowed, you know. But you want to have good equipment. You want to have a nice bow. This is a crossbow. You might want to have a compound bow. You might want to have a gun. But the point is, a basic rule is, it doesn't matter if I have a nice bow. I got to practice with it. You can't just go out and think you're going to shoot something. You got to shoot, you know, hundreds of times with your crossbow. You may not shoot hundreds of times with your gun, but you got to sight it in. It's also important that, you know, people hunt different ways. Some people hunt on the ground, and so they'll hide behind a tree or they have a ground blind. Some people like to walk through the woods and jump the deer and shoot them. I've never been very good at that. I like climbing trees, so I have a climber here. This is a serious piece of equipment. Let me tell you, this thing weighs about 40 pounds. But with this climber, I can climb up trees 20, 25 feet. And when you're up that high, deer doesn't see you. But here's a basic rule. When you climb with a climber, you best wear a harness. Where's Dr. Kasich at? What happens when people don't follow the rules and climb without a harness, Dave? They come and see Dr. Kasich in the ER because they fall out of the tree. So there's rules. If you're going to use equipment, practice with it. If you're going to use a climber, wear a harness. So if you're going to go out in the woods, make sure you scout it out and you're familiar with it. There's also, you know, things like your rattler, so you can rattle, you know, this kind of stuff. You think, oh, that's not going to work. Oh, this works, man. I've drawn in buck by rattling. When you rattle during the right time of the season, these buck go crazy. There's your, you know, your deer grunt. You go, oh man, that is the coolest sound ever. That is so cool. I mean, I've seen deer walking away, they hear that little, and they turn right around. I mean, numerous times, they come right at you, man, like, who's, who, you know, and they, yeah, baby, I got, you know. But you know what? All the right equipment here, if you don't follow a basic rule, is you cannot make any noise when you're up the tree. So you may rattle, but as soon as you're done, you have to sit still. You don't move your hands. I mean, these are basic rules that if you follow them, you'll be successful. I used to take my boys hunting, and it was like I'd get them up a tree, and in like 5 minutes, hey, Dad, I gotta go to the bathroom. Yeah. Are you kidding me? Climb down a tree, you know. And then you hear them clanking around like, no, you can't make noise, man. You got to be really quiet. If you're going to be successful as a deer hunter, you have to follow rules. Fortunately, after, you know, many years of hunting and not knowing things and learning and reading and talking to people, I eventually did harvest some nice deer. I've harvested some nice buck over the years. I've harvested some nice doe, and it's been a lot of fun hunting. But you know, the thing is, just like deer hunting, just like turkey hunting, just like any sport, you have to follow rules. Best that you know them, and when you know them, it's best that you follow them. Well, it's the same thing for life. If you want to be successful in life, it would be smart if you knew some basic rules and then you followed them. And what's so exciting about being a Christian and a follower of God is that God's word has something to say about living a successful life. So I want to take some time this morning and just look at some of these passages. One is found in the book of Psalms. It's the first Psalm. And we're just going to read three verses, but this is a manual on how to be successful in life. Psalm 1, starting in verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does, it shall prosper. So look here now, just so we don't misunderstand this, it starts out, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man, and then by the end of verse 3 it says, and whatever he does shall prosper. So never misunderstand this. God is your father. He wants you blessed, and he wants you to prosper, and he's giving us instruction how to get there. This is the manual for successful living. Blessed means, oh, how happy. I cannot believe I've heard preachers over the years say, God doesn't care if you're happy or not. And I'm thinking, brother, you don't know God's word. It says right there, blessed means, oh, how happy. And I've heard preachers say, well, God doesn't care if you're prosperous. It says right here, if you do these things, whatever you do, you shall prosper. God is your father. Just like you're a father, you're a mother, you're a parent, you want your kids happy or you want them depressed? Obviously, you want them happy. Do you want them to succeed in life or do you want them to fail? You want them to succeed. Well, God is your father. And so here, you've got three verses, so simple. What does it take to succeed in life? Well, first, verse 1, he tells you what not to do. Verse 2, he tells you what you should do. And verse 3, he tells you the benefit or the results of following these instructions. What shouldn't you do? Well, he says, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. So, you want to succeed in life? Ask yourself, where are you getting your advice? It shocks me that I think most people are influenced in getting their information and their advice and forming opinions based on the evening news or radio talk show host. You're not going to succeed if that's who's influencing you and causing you to form your opinions about what's going on in life. It says if you want to be blessed, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. What does that mean? It means walk in the counsel of the godly. That's the benefit of going to church on Sunday. That's the benefit of having Christian friends. It's the benefit of having spiritual people speak into your life. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. The second one is, don't stand in the path of sinners. But don't hang out with sinners. I know people are really confused about this. Let me help you out here. Lots of people say, well, Jesus hung out with sinners. Can we all agree Jesus hung out with sinners? Yes, yes, he hung out with sinners. But that was not his inner circle, okay? What was his inner circle? Who were his buds? He had 12 disciples. He had 12 apostles. What that means is Jesus didn't isolate himself like the Pharisees. You know, they were too good to hang out with anybody and to associate with anybody. They didn't want to get dirty. And Jesus hung out with everybody. You know, he didn't have any problem. He hung out with sinners, prostitutes, embezzlers. He loved everybody. But this is talking about who are you standing with? Who's your band of brothers? Who are you connected with? Jesus had 12, and even in the 12, he had three. He stood with godly men. He connected with godly people. You know, they say one of your best predictors about your future, if you want to know your future, just look at who's your inner circle. Who's in your inner circle? We're not talking about isolating ourselves. We're talking about who's in that inner circle. Who do you stand with? Who are you bonded with? You don't bond with the sinners. And then the third one, don't sit in the seat of the scornful. You know what scornful, to me, here's what scornful is. It means scornful is if I disagree with you, but I disrespect you. I diss you. I treat you like dirt. That's scornful. I can disagree with you, but I don't have to be scornful or critical or negative. And I think there's so much confusion about this today. It's like, I'm afraid, you know, if you disagree with somebody, they think you hate them and you're being mean-spirited. You can disagree with someone, do it respectfully. Don't be scornful, don't be critical, don't be negative. So really what this is saying, verse 1, if you hang out with the wrong people, their scent rubs off on you. You smell like them. And that scent will drive away your blessedness and your prosperity. It's the same thing with deer hunting. You want to talk about another basic rule of deer hunting? Took me years to figure out, is the whole process of descenting. A deer can smell you 100 yards away. And so if you want to be successful, you have to have hunting clothes that you do not allow to associate with your regular clothes. Sorry, you can't hang out with them. Because they will rub off on you. You live outside. My hunting clothes are in my van or on the back porch a month before hunting season and all during hunting season. They don't associate with the inside of the house. They don't associate with my regular clothes because that scent will rub off on them. And more often than not, I've been scented by deer and lost my shot because I had the wrong scent on me. Well, this is telling you, if you want to be happy, if you want to prosper, don't have the wrong scent on you. Because if you smell the wrong way, you're going to drive away blessedness and prosperity. Make sure your inner circle is godly people that are influencing you. Make sure you're getting your godly advice from good people, spiritual people. Then he tells you verse 2, but this is what you should do, he says. Delight in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. We talked about this a couple of times, but I just cannot harp on this enough. This is talking about quiet time. And what this is saying is, it is not optional. It's not optional to say, well, you know, I'm a Christian. Who cares if I have quiet time in my life? Who cares if I meditate on the law of the Lord? Well, you can say no one cares, but I can tell you this. You won't get the promise of the blessedness and the prosperity if you don't have quiet time in your life. And I'm telling you, our culture right now is just far from quiet time. I mean, every place I go, they got the buds in their ears, we're on the phone, we've got the radio. It's like people are afraid of the quiet time. I think meditation, first of all, meditation is biblical. It's not some Eastern philosophy. It's found throughout the scriptures, and it's accompanied every time it talks about meditation, it's accompanied with great promises. If we want blessedness, if we want to be successful in life, if we want to prosper, we have to find a way to get some quiet time in our lives. I believe quiet times brings balance. I think quiet times helps, for me, it helps me hear what's going on inside. If I've got noise all the time, I can't hear what's going on inside. It gives me a better perspective. It slows me down. Meditating on the things of God helps me live in the present. I don't fly through life. I'm sure you've all read some of these surveys that people do. Over the years, I've read a number of these where they survey people who are older and retired, and they ask them a question like, you know, what do you regret in life, or what would you do different? And one of the things that almost always shows up in these surveys is this kind of comment where people say, I wished I would have slowed down. I wished I would have reflected more. Whenever I read that, I feel so sad. I think, well, for sure, those people never experienced the glory of God's great outdoors. For sure, they've never deer hunted, that's for sure. I'm telling you, when you deer hunt, you sit still 1 hour, 2 hours, sometimes 3 hours. You're not listening to music. You're not reading a book. You are just sitting there. And if you're a Christian and you learn how to meditate on the things of God, it's a powerful experience. It'll bring you to a deeper understanding and a deeper relationship with God. And what he's saying here is it really isn't optional. You need to find some quiet time in your life. However that works, if it's driving in the car, if it's walking in the park, if it's sitting on your back porch, but build it into your life if you want blessedness and prosperity. Then he gives you the promise, verse 3. When people talk about the promises of God, here's a promise. If you don't do what he says not to do in verse 1, if you do what he says in verse 2, I promise you, you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You'll bring forth your fruit in your season. Your leaf will not wither, and whatever you do shall prosper. You'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. A better translation, I didn't understand this for years. I thought it meant rivers. You know, rivers like, over the years, I've canoed a number of rivers in central Ohio. I've canoed the Mad River, the Mohegan, the Hocking, the Cocosine, the Little Miami. I've canoed a lot of rivers over the years. And one of the things you notice on rivers is that trees that grow on the banks of rivers are not really good trees. You always see them, they'll be this way, and next year they're this way, and next year they're this way, and pretty soon they're laying in the river because the soil gets washed out from underneath them. This is not talking about rivers like that. If you have different translations, it might clarify. It's talking about irrigation canals. So what he's saying here is you'll be a tree planted and irrigated. Like what we're talking about here is an orchard. You'll be like a healthy fruit tree in an orchard. And planted means chosen for a purpose, not just a wild tree growing up in the wilderness. He's saying if you do this, you'll be like a tree planted by God, irrigated by God, cared for, because you'll have purpose and meaning. And the result is you'll bring forth fruit. I mean, everybody wants to live a life that has meaning and purpose, right? I mean, no one wants to just go through life and just end. You want to know, like, at least I made a difference. Well, here it is. You'll make a difference. You'll bring forth fruit. You'll be led by God to do things that'll bring forth fruit. And then he says, and your leaf will not wither. He's talking about when hard times come. Hard times are going to come. Jesus said, we live in a broken world. You're going to experience tribulation. But if you learn how to meditate on the things of God, when those hard times come, you won't wither. I mean, you always can tell what's going on, what's inside of a person when they're facing difficult times. I mean, that's when you find out what's really in there. And if you've been planted by God and you're irrigated by God, your leaf won't wither. And then the last one, this one I just love. It says, and whatever he does shall not prosper. I am amazed that some people would prefer to change that wording, and they'd like it to say, and sometimes, by chance, he might prosper. Or occasionally, he might prosper. But that is not what it says here. It says, whatever he does shall prosper. This is what's called a promise of God's word. If you follow these basic rules, he says, I promise you, you will prosper and be happy. Your life will be blessed. You got to follow the rules. You got to make sure you don't have the wrong scent on you. I mean, if you're rubbing the wrong stuff, you're going to stink the wrong way, and success and prosperity are just going to evade. You're never going to get close. But if you're rubbing and hanging with the right kind of people, and you're having some quiet time in your life, and you understand the value of that, you're listening and you're settling yourself down and slowing down, then you'll be like an irrigated, well-watered tree planted like an orchard, producing fruit in your life, because your Father in heaven wants you blessed and prosperous. Amen? Amen. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you want us to be successful in life, God. And as mysterious as it may sound, it is not that difficult. You give us some great counsel here. Help us to be careful who we have in our inner circle, God, where we're getting our advice and our counsel. God, I pray for everyone here that we begin to grasp the significance of some quiet time, meditating on you, having you in our thoughts, settling ourselves down, not rushing through life, God. And I pray even today, God, you might just begin to instill in our hearts different ways that we can bring that into our lives. Morning cup of coffee, back porch, driving to work, radio off, walk in the park, evening walking the dog, quiet times, hunting, fishing, hiking, camping. But that, God, we would realize that we can hear your voice when we quiet ourselves down. And I thank you for the promise, God. You want us blessed. You want us prosperous. I thank you that you are a father, God, that you care about our lives. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody, let's just say, hear now. Hear now. Hear now. How many believe God can change something in your life like right now? Like really, right now. It's really, he can do that. Holy Spirit, I just believe you do want to change some lives here today, God. I just got a sense today as I was preparing and praying that some of you are feeling like stressed out, like your schedules are maxed out. Some of you have been looking at your lives going, man. And I'm talking today about setting some quiet time aside, and I feel like the Holy Spirit of God wants to set you free today. That you can change today so that you don't run through life and miss out. Some of us, I got this picture of moms that have little kids. I got this picture of guys going to work. I got this picture of students at school. People just dealing with this like my schedule is busy. And you're looking at your life, and I'm telling you, if you don't change now, it's going to slip past you. And I just feel like the Holy Spirit wants to change you today, wants to put in your heart the hope you can change this. You can change this. You can slow it down. You can find some time to meditate and open your heart up to God. So let's just take a moment, and if you feel like I'm talking to you, could you just raise your hand? I want to pray for you this morning that God would change you today, right here, right all the way in the back there, all the way back here. Come on. Today, here, now, the Holy Spirit, as we pray, I'm going to pray, God, give you the answer. Show you can change this. You don't have to run through life. Hold your hands up. We're going to pray for you right now. Father God, I pray right now, today, I pray for these hands that are up. Father, I pray here, now, God, that something would change today. The stress, the schedule, the work, what the job, the school, God, in the name of Jesus, they would sense a hope that they can find time to slow down, to listen. Hear what's going on inside, to hear your voice. Holy Spirit of God, I pray today in Jesus' name, hear now, make the change. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Let's do this. Let's just take a moment here also. I've been doing this every Sunday, but I just want to take a moment and say, where are you at spiritually? Where are you at spiritually? Most Americans think they're Christians because they're born in America. Most Americans think they're Christians because they go to a church. But the Bible talks about a time, a point in your life where you make a decision as an adult where you say, I am going to surrender my life to Jesus. He is going to be the Lord of my life. You may have grown up in a Christian home. It doesn't make you a Christian. But there's a point in your life where you need to decide, are you going to follow Jesus? Is he going to be your Lord and Savior? And so I don't know the spiritual condition of everybody here, but I'd like to just take a moment and ask the Holy Spirit to shine his light in your heart. And if you feel something like maybe God's talking to you that today you ought to make that decision, and I encourage you, we're going to pray, we're going to ask you to respond, we're going to pray with you. And I believe, just like we said, here and now, God can begin to change your life. So, Father, I pray, if there's anyone here today, God, that senses that that the realization that they need to make the decision to open their hearts to you, to surrender their lives to you, God. God, that you would do this work that only you can do. Only you can shine that light and call a person to yourself. I pray, Father, if you're calling someone today, that they would hear that voice. So if you feel like I'm speaking to you, if you would just do me a favor, just hold your hand up. I want to pray for you. We're going to pray a real simple prayer. I'm going to invite Jesus to be the Lord of our lives. Maybe you did this as a child or something, but you're standing here today and you realize, you know, somehow or other we've parted ways and I need to get back on track. Sensing the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart. Do me a favor. Just raise your hand. We're going to pray for you. I'm going to join with you as you make this decision. All the way in the back. All right. One hand up. Come on. Come on. Hold it up. I see all the way in the back. Yep. No one can do this for you. This is not your spouse's decision. This is not mom and dad's. This is yours. Anybody else feel that tug at their heart? Want to make a decision today? Today. I want to surrender my life to God. I want to have God in my life for real. This is different than I go to church. This is saying he's real in me. Anybody else this morning? Just hold your hand up. We're going to pray with you. All right, all the way in the back, we're going to pray a real simple prayer. Let's just pray this together. Jesus, I'm opening my heart to you right now, and I invite you in. I accept you as the Lord of my life, and I accept your sacrifice for the forgiveness of all my sins. I surrender my life to you. Just come, come, Holy Spirit, come right now. Let him just sense your presence right now, Holy Spirit. Amen, man. Good for you. Good for you back there. Bless you, man. All right. All right. Yeah. So listen, some people are going to talk with you. They got some stuff they want to give you just to help you. But good decision today. All right. We're going to...